Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Lord, it is truly well with our soul. We trust you, Lord, in all things. Father, we know this, the enemy is a liar, but you are truth. And so, Lord, we cling to you, we call to you, we cry out to you, and Lord, we want to listen to you. So speak to us tonight through your word. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. May we hear from you, and may we be taught by you. Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, we praise you. God, we honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name,
amen.
All right, you may be seated. I was almost going to say good morning, because I don't have a clue. It's like, what? So, there you go. Hey, I've got a couple announcements for you. First of all, cross-training, the kung fu stretching low impact training. It's canceled for tomorrow, but I'm sure they'll be back the next week. So if you haven't participated in that, that's every Thursday. I'm not sure at the time. I think it's 4 o'clock. Oh, there he is. There's Chop Suey. Okay. So it's canceled for tomorrow, but they'll be back. It's great if you just want to do some low impact stretching and good stuff, learn some martial arts. Good every Thursday. All right, Children's Church, plenty of opportunities to serve always, but also along with that, for Epic, they are now accepting candy donations. They're going to do an Easter egg hunt for the children that come, so they need candy. Nothing chocolate, because it'll melt, and we talked about that on Sunday. So if you want to help, one, you could get involved and help teach the kids. Number two, you could help with the Easter egg hunt, or you can just bring some candy. How about that? So just pray. See how you feel God lead you to get involved. Along with the Epic, our door-to-door evangelism ministry is going to be handing out Epic cards every Sunday until Epic. So if you are interested in spreading the word about Epic, they're going to go over by Rotary Park and hand out to the people there at the park, hand out to people that live in the vicinity, and prayerfully we'll see a great turnout. I know last year was horrible. We didn't do Epic. But the year before when we did Epic, what was so neat is to see some people from the neighborhood coming, some kids on their bikes, people with their dogs, and it was neat. That's what we want. We want all to be welcome to come. So that's Sunday after second service. Miriam will be here to meet with you. I think they go out at 1, and you can go and help hand those out. And as you know, on your seats are the bookmarks. Now, let me talk about the bookmarks. What was so interesting is that a couple of people, I don't think they understood what I was saying, because they put names on the bookmarks, Steve, you know, my dad, and then they put it in the offering box. And it was like, no, it's a bookmark. It goes in your Bible, and what you're to do is write 5 names on the bookmark, stick it in your Bible, and then every time, prayerfully every day, you open up your Bible, you're going to see that bookmark, and it's going to remind you to pray. Same thing with the wristband, each one reach one. It's to remind us to pray and remind us to invite people to Epic Easter. So put the wristband on, take the bookmark, put 5 names, shove it in your Bible. Now, if you have a Bible app on your phone, then might I suggest that you put it on your refrigerator or put it on the dashboard of your car, but don't just shove it in your pocket, because then you'll wash it and it'll get everywhere. Anyways, so keep that in mind. And then, of course, as far as Epic goes, it's huge. And last Sunday, we did have quite a few people sign up to help. Just so you know, here's some opportunities. Bounce House, tent assembly, cooking team, cleaning chairs, greeters, prayer team, nursery, stage, ushers. But I think some of those got full, were filled up, actually. I think Children's Church, yay, is full, I think. I do think that she has everybody she needs. But listen, if you want to get involved, we'll find a place. I'm looking for people too that I can train up for photography and videography. We've done it before, and we didn't always get good footage. So I'm going to do a training class to show you how you can get good footage. So I'm looking for about four people. I think I have one or two so far. So if you'd like to do that, there's just all kinds of opportunities. Now, the other thing about Epic is after Epic, we're going to have a picnic with hot dogs. I'm not sure about the hamburgers, but we're going to have free food there. Hey, free food. Hey, there you go. But then we're going to have a baptism. Now, so far, we have about 20, a little more than 20 people signed up, and we're still a couple of weeks away. Yeah, praise the Lord. Listen, people come up to me and they go, hey, I was baptized as a baby. If you were baptized as a baby, then you didn't know what you were doing. It is important that when you are baptized, that you understand what you are doing. It's a proclamation. And I'm going to teach you all about that. So if you want to be baptized, please go over there, sign up tonight or Sunday, and then I'll be in touch with you to give you the rest of the information. Now, last announcement. A lot of announcements tonight. I'm sorry. I'm looking for four people. I've got two so far. I need two more people who are very detailed. If you are detail-oriented, I have a special assignment. I need four people. Please come and talk to me. I need two more. So I got two. I need two more. And prayerfully, it won't take very long, maybe a couple of days of 48 hours of work. I'm joking. Just a couple hours for a couple of days would be great. So come and talk to me, and I'll get you plugged in on this project I have going. All right. Whew. That's a lot of announcements. We got a lot going on. Okay. If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 23. I've entitled our message, Destroying Idols, Building Worship. 2 Kings 23. Now notice I didn't put 1 through 30 or 1 through because I have no idea how far we're going to make it. Okay. There's a lot of good stuff in here. I just love King Josiah. What an amazing king he was for Israel. And you'll see why. He's just awesome. But so I've entitled it, Destroying Idols, Building Worship. Let's pray and then dig in here. Father God, Lord, once again, we come before you. Lord, speak to us regarding idols in our life. Speak to us regarding worship in our life. Speak to us about having you more active in our life. God, we thank you that you desire to be involved in our lives more than we even want you in our lives because, Lord, we are so fleshy. So help us, Lord. Bless us tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, Josiah, he is the last godly king of the southern tribe of Israel, of Judah. Remember that the northern tribe, they have been taken captive. But here we're going to read that King Josiah will worship the Lord with all his heart and all his soul, which is impressive when you realize that we were told in the last chapter that he took the throne at the ripe age of 8. He was 8 years old when he took the throne, when he became king. But it says that he did right in the sight of the Lord. Man, we've been looking at kings, adults, who haven't done right in the sight of the Lord. Yet you put a young man who is 8 and he does right in the sight of the Lord. How'd you like an 8-year-old like that? Right? And when he is 26, we saw that last week, I think it was last week. It's a blur to me. He sent Shaphan to fix the house of God. And while they were working on the house of God, they found the Word of God and realized, you know, we went into great detail how they had not read the Word of God. So this was all something fresh and new. But when they read it, when he read it, he ripped his clothes. He was cut to the chase. Now, he was already doing what was right in the sight of the Lord without the Word of God. Impressive. But now he's doing right in the sight of the Lord, and he is torn. He is cut to the chase. He is humbled. He is broken. And then he wants to know, hey, what do we do? Let's go inquire of the Lord. Now, what's interesting is Isaiah had been around, but at this time, when he wants to inquire of the Lord, we know that Isaiah had been murdered, sawed in half. Zephaniah is on the scene. He's on the scene. Jeremiah is on the scene, but he's very young. So there are some prophets around. But he sends to Huldah, a prophetess. We don't know anything about her, but we do know this. She's obviously a godly, godly woman of God, because she actually gives him a message. And her message from the Lord, she pronounces judgment upon the nation, because the nation has not been faithful to God. They've turned their back on God. They've embraced idols. But she says that God will show mercy to Josiah. In fact, if you want to turn there, go back one chapter to 2 Kings 22, verse 19. It says this. Why is God going to show mercy to Josiah? Because your heart was tender, you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse. And you tore your clothes and you wept before me, and I also have heard you, says the Lord. So what happened? King Josiah read the word. He heard from God. He heard conviction. We have not been living according to God's word. The people have not been living, even though he knew he was already tearing down the idols. He was already doing that without any word of God. But then when he got the word, he was like, we are in deep trouble. The nation is in deep trouble. And so he's cut to the chase. And then he wept. He tore his clothes and he wept. He actually cried over his sin. And God said, I like that. And God says, I heard your tears. I've heard you. So let me ask you this, because we're going to see here. We're going to see that Josiah is going to worship in spirit and in truth. And we say that all the time. In fact, from John 4, verse 24, Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I'm going to ask this, although we don't have a microphone up for you, and that's okay. I'm just going to have you blurt it out. Now repeat it for the internet. This will be the only question I'm going to ask you that I really want to question. When we say that, we say that, churches say that all the time. Our church worships in spirit and truth. What does that mean? How is that practical? What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? Did you worship in spirit and truth just a few minutes ago? Okay, well, what does that mean? Someone said, no. God, we better pray for them. Did someone say no? I'm like, boop, beep, boop, boop. What does it mean, though? With your whole heart. Okay, what does that mean? All your being. Give God glory. Okay, well, how? I mean, is that it? I mean, just, well, I worship. How do I know? How do I know if I'm, so we've got with your whole heart, give God glory, heart and soul. How do I know if I'm doing that? Give yourself. Okay, that's a cool. What are you going to say?
You sing the word to him, his word.
You sing the word to him. Okay, here you go. Here you go. Okay, one more. Huh? In Jesus the truth. What does that mean? He is the way, the truth, and the life. So how do I do that? Open heart and pray. Okay, give your whole heart. Okay, here's the problem. You said sing the words, sing his word. Okay, how about this? I am a an arson and a pimp and a drug dealer and an adulterer and a pornographer and all this, and I come in and I sing the words of God. Is that in spirit and in truth? It's not. Well, you just said, and I sing it, and I really give, I'm into it. Huh? Raise your hand. Is that in spirit and truth? No. Why not? Your life's not surrendered to God. But I came in and I surrendered it while I was in here. Huh? No, no, I'm saying while I was in worship, I was all about God. But yes, that we've heard that about five times now. What does that mean, though? You said, with all your heart, with all your soul, give me something practical. Walking in the truth. Okay, I am truthfully a pimp and a drug dealer, and I'm being truthful about that. Okay, hold on, hold on. Raise your hand. Yes.
Did you ask the Lord for forgiveness?
Yeah, and I will next week too, and the week after that, and I've been. He said he asked me if I asked the Lord for forgiveness. I don't know. I'm asking you. Why are you asking me a question? He said, don't you have to repent? I'm asking this question. I'm not asking for a question. Here's my question. Here's my question. How do we worship in spirit and truth? Thankfully, the scripture is going to tell us tonight. But yes, go ahead. Surrender. We've heard that already. Give all your heart, mind, and soul. Okay, you say surrender. What does that mean? How does that practical? I can come in. I'm surrendered. I'm surrendered right now while I'm worshiping. Prayer. What we learn in here, we have to live it outside. Okay, so let me, and I think we have one more hand, and then I'm going to answer this. Kathy, you had your hand up? You have to turn from your wicked ways. Okay, one last one.
Faith that Jesus is Lord.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm just... Demons believe that Jesus is Lord and they tremble. So is that it? Is that it? Okay, thank you. Okay, let me help you real quick because that's the only question I'm going to ask you tonight. This is not Q&A. Brothers and sisters, we have to, please hear me in this. Hear me in this. We have to stop using Christianese. We have to surrender our heart. Okay, great. What does that mean? How do you do that? We have to worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, what does that mean? We have to walk in truth. What does that mean? We have to repent. What does that mean? If I'm asking you, how do you worship in spirit and truth? You say you got to repent. Okay, well, how do I do that? Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not asking. So hang on to that thought. Why? Because we're going to see here throughout this whole passage that King Josiah is going to worship in spirit and in truth. And we're told that. And we're going to be told how he does that. And folks, here's what I want you to hear me on. We had worship just a few minutes ago. Maybe some people in Facebook land and YouTube land were worshiping as well. But singing songs... Singing the words doesn't mean anything if it's not in spirit and truth. So hang on to that thought. Let's look at destroying idols, building worship, and kind of get the answer right there in the title. But let's keep moving. Verse 1. So here's King Josiah. He's doing great things. He's ripped his clothes. He's heard that the nation's going to be judged, but he is going to be spared. He's going to have mercy. Why? Because he was broken. He cried. God heard him because he heard God when he read the word of God. Verse 1.
Now, the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, with all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. You know what that tells me? That's a huge crowd. That's a huge crowd. This is Jerusalem. But it's not just Jerusalem, Judah. Of all of Judah, all the people, all the inhabitants, all the priests, all the prophets, there could be a couple million people. A couple million. Can you imagine you go to Vegas and you go, you know what, Vegas, we're going to repent. And you gather all the people from Vegas in one location. Would that be a big crowd? That's basically what he does here. Huge crowds. Huge crowd. No doubt, Huldah, the prophetess, she's going to be there because it said all the prophets. Jeremiah, Zephaniah, they're there. They're there. It was funny. Someone came up to me on Sunday because I meant to say, I think it was Zechariah, and I said Zephaniah, and they came up to me, Pastor, you know, there's no Zephaniah, book of Zephaniah in the Bible. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, good for you. Have a great day. I'll be praying for you. It was funny. Anyways, they were cute. They meant well. And he read it in their hearing. I love when people correct me. It's good. Okay. And he read it in their hearing, and all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Once again, remember this. They found, it was hidden, the word of God in the house of the Lord. That would be like coming into a church and saying, wow, hey, we found a Bible in here. A Bible? That's kind of the idea. Now, no, did you catch it? It says, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. I believe that basically what he read was the book of Deuteronomy. All 34 chapters in the hearing of the people. And people complain sometimes that our service lasts an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday. Can you imagine if I read all 34 chapters of Deuteronomy with brokenness and humility, probably emphasizing the parts that really resounded in my heart? Listen, man, that's a people who are, at least the king is hungry for the word. And he has, listen, the whole crowd. I wonder how they got it to all the people. Did they repeat every word? Think about that. Think about if he said he read a verse and then this person repeated it so that they could hear it all the way down the line. How long would that take? This is probably an all-day process. Now, there's something practical here. What's the practical? Why do we lose battles? Why do we lose battles? You see, here's what happens, and I'm going to give you, and some of you have heard this because you've been coming to HBC for a while. I counsel a lot, sometimes more than others, but when I counsel, it's usually the same thing. Here's what it is. Person's having difficulty. I say, how's your prayer life? Oh, I pray all the time, Pastor. Lord, take this. Lord, help me with this. Lord, Lord, Lord. And they're praying. And I'm like, that's awesome. Then I say, how's your time in the Word? Well, could be better. Listen, the reason why we lose battles is because we have no weapon. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Prayer is a shield. It's not a weapon. The weapon is a sword. And I use this analogy whenever I'm counseling. So you take this with you right now where you are. Jesus, baptized, the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness immediately after he's baptized. He's fasting and praying. What is he doing? What is he doing? Yes, for 40 days. Then the devil comes to attack him. You see, when you pray, that doesn't make the devil flee. That's drawing a line in the sand saying, bring it on, brother. That's when you got to go, shing, and pull out the sword. Why? What is when the devil comes to fight with Jesus, and that's what he's doing, Jesus doesn't go, oh, let me pray some more. I rebuke you, Satan. Get behind. He doesn't say any of that. You know what he does? It is written. He quotes the word of God. The reason why too often Christians lose in the fight is a lack of the sword. They cannot fight without the word of God. So, when you, maybe you have a brother or sister, it's coming to you and saying, listen, hey, I need help. You know, I'm praying, asking God to take this, and I'm praying and praying, and nothing's happening. No, something's happening. You're drawing a line in the sand, and the devil's going, bring it on. You want to fight? Let's fight. Now you've got to use the word of God. Now, Josiah, he's heard the word of God. He's excited about what God is doing. He is broken. He is humbled. He's called all the people together. And what does he do? He wants them to hear the word that's changing his life. Now, side note. King Josiah isn't selfish. His heart is for the whole nation. God said that he was going to judge the nation through Huldah. He said, I'm going to judge the nation and nothing's going to stop my judgment, but I will show you mercy. But here's what King Josiah realizes. God's wrath comes by measure, but his mercy is without measure. Do you ever realize that? When God brings judgment, it's righteous amount of judgment for the wrong that was done. But when God brings mercy, it's always over and abundant beyond what we even deserve. So think about this. I was talking with Susan the other day, and we were talking about how excited we are that we are most likely the generation that are going to experience the rapture. And we were like, oh, we're so excited. This is so exciting. This is so, and I go, yeah, but here's how I am. Oh, man, I can't wait. But, oh, gosh, those who are going to be left behind. Selfishly, I'm like, God, come get us. But then when I'm not selfish, I'm like, oh, God, I need a little more time. There are people that I love that need to come to know you. And there are people that I don't know that need to know you. King Josiah goes, look, let's get everybody together, everyone in Judea, everyone in Jerusalem. Let's bring them all together. Let them hear the word of God that I just heard that cut me the chase. And prayerfully, it's going to change their life too. And maybe the immeasurable mercy that was poured out upon me, God will pour it out upon them also. Isn't that a good heart? Watch, verse 3, I love this. Then the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments, his testimony, his statutes. Watch this. With all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Okay, did you catch it? There's a lot there. King Josiah says, God, I know that your judgment upon this nation will be right. Why? He saw, even before the word, he saw it was bad. He was already tearing down the idols without the word of God. But then once he knew, wait, in Deuteronomy, if you do this, you'll be blessed. And he goes, we're not doing that. But if you do this, you're going to be cursed. And he goes, those things we're doing. We're in trouble, and I'm the king of a people who are in trouble. So he gathers them together, and he makes a covenant between the pillars. By the way, that was common in those days. If you entered into an agreement with somebody, oftentimes you would take an animal, a sacrifice, and you'd slice it in half, and then the two of you would walk between that. Remember, covenant speaks of a cutting. A marriage is a covenant. Why? Because Adam and Eve, God created Eve from a cutting and taking out of her rib. God, Jesus said, this is a new covenant in my blood. Why? Because he was cut for us. Covenant, and then of course, without getting creepy, the circumcision is a covenant between Abraham and God that got passed down. Covenant speaks of cutting. So he's between the pillars as if there's a cutting. Perhaps they even did a cutting of an animal, of some sacrifice. But King Josiah is taking a personal stand. He is taking a personal stand. Listen, we live in a day and age where our nation is going to hell in a handbasket. Which, by the way, what a weird term. I think that's to kind of soften it. We're going to hell in a handbasket. It's such a cute hand. Now listen, I don't care if you put hell in a handbasket or hell in a garbage can, it's still hell. Listen, in our nation, there are national prayers taking place to other gods. There are national prayers that are ending with amen and a woman. There are city hall prayers where Satanists are leading the invocation. Yeah. Isaiah 5, verse 20 through 21 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitterness. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and the prudent in their own sight." Now, woe to those who call evil good and evil is elected. Woe to those. Listen, what we need, what our country needs are more leaders who know what our country needs. What our country needs is God, nothing else. Proverbs 28:2 says this, where there's no moral rot within a nation is government topples easily, but wise and knowledgeable leaders bring stability. Listen, rot comes without God, but we can make a stand. We can make a stand. When you and I make a stand for God, that separates us from the world. And guess what? The word holy means to be what? Separated. We need to be separate from the world. We need to stand for God. That's what King Josiah is doing. And notice it says, with all his heart and all his soul. And notice he says, to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments, his testimony, his statutes with all his heart and all his soul. That's how we worship in spirit and in truth. I don't care how loud you sing in here. If out there you're not keeping his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes. Now, listen, none of us are going to do it perfectly. But at least striving for it. Then you can't come in here and say, I worship in spirit and truth. No, you may be worshiping in hypocrisies and lies. So what is the key? If someone comes up to you and they say, how do I worship in spirit and truth? Yes, with all your heart and all your soul. Yes, giving yourself to Jesus. But the key is this, to keep his commandments, keep his testimonies, keep his statutes. Live by his word, then you'll come in here and you'll worship in spirit and truth. Don't live by his word. You can memorize a song, sing them in your sleep, and you'll still be ungodly. Remember, demons believe and tremble. That's what James tells us. But they don't keep his commandments. They don't keep his testimony. They don't keep his statutes. They don't do it with their heart or soul. In fact, that's what they rebel against. So the difference between you and I and the way we believe and the way demons believe, demons don't obey the Lord. They don't worship the Lord. They do recognize him and they do fear him. Who wouldn't fear God? Right? And notice he says this, to perform the words of this covenant that are written in this book, to perform them, to do them, to display them. Too often Christians will go, oh, I want to do the word of the Lord, but I don't want anybody to see me. I love the term here, perform. Now that's not to do that we do it fake, that we become like the scribes and Pharisees where we want to be seen. The idea here is that we're not ashamed of it, to perform the words of this covenant that are written in this book. And let me just quote James chapter 1, verse 21 through 26. It says this: "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word." Isn't that what King Josiah did? He received the implanted word, and when it was planted in his heart, he was torn. He was quick and cut to the chase. Receive with meekness, and that's, by the way, that's meekness is power under control. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now watch this. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If all I do is hear the word of God and don't live it, I am deceiving you? No, I'm deceiving you. Deceiving him? Definitely not deceiving him. I'm only deceiving myself. Why? Well, Pastor Randy, if you're doing that, how are you not deceiving me? I didn't know. Yeah, but it doesn't affect you. I mean, your eternal destination, it affects the whole church. But it doesn't affect your eternal salvation if you are genuinely a believer in God. So you're not deceiving me. I'm not deceiving you. If I'm living that way or you're living that way, where we're hearers only and not doers of the word, we're only deceiving ourselves. That's the only one. How silly is that, to deceive ourselves? And he continues, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it." No, did you catch that? You can't just look into the word of God. That's easy. Anybody can do that. He says, looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Continues. You know what that means, continue? It means faithful. If you're unfaithful, you're not continuing. You're bailing. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one, watch this. This one will be blessed in what he does, or she. Well, what do you mean by that, blessed in what he does? Well, think about this. If I'm doing the word of God, then I'm going to be blessed in what? The word of God, the things I'm doing for God. People misunderstand that. Well, if you're a doer of the word, you're going to be blessed, riches and glory. And No. Stop that stuff. That's the televangelist talking. No. You're going to be blessed in the things leading people to Christ, be an example of Christ, seeing God glorified in your life. There is nothing better. Verse 26, if anyone, watch this. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. What comes out of your mouth? Colorful. I don't know why they call them colorful. They're pretty ugly. Ugly words that shouldn't be there. Well, I don't say them in church. Well, isn't that the opposite of worshiping in spirit and truth? If when you're outside the church, bleakety bleak bleak comes out, but in church it's bless you, brother, bless you, sister. Praise the Lord. Isn't that hypocritical? And who are you fooling? Me? Yourself. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. Jesus says, out of your heart, abundance will flow. That's why, by the way, I'm going to make some people angry right now. I don't care. There's this group that meet to try and help people with their addictions. And they give a coin with a little triangle on it. And it says, to thine own heart be true. Problem. What if out of my heart come profanities? Should I be true to that? What if out of my heart is lust and greed and all these but I'm going to be true to it. Like I said earlier, come in here and worship. We are worshiping in spirit truth. Yes, I'm a drug dealer. Yes, I'm a pimp. Yes, I'm an adulterer. Yes, I'm all these things, but I'm truthful about it. Listen, to thine own self be true is demonic at its core. So don't ever buy into that garbage. You got to bridle your tongue and give your heart to Jesus. Don't be true to your own heart. Your heart is filthy. Your heart needs to be changed. You need a new heart. I need a new heart. We need a new heart. Destroying idols is building worship. You want to worship more strongly? Then get rid of the idols in your life. It's not easy, but it's what we're called to do. Verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest of second order, the doorkeeper, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Okay. Man, oh man. First of all, you notice where these articles were? In the house of God. And you go, okay, so they had these. No. You got to understand. Baal, that means they were burning babies in the house of God. Okay? So if we had a little bronze statue over here and we said, ladies, you want to be blessed in your career, you want your family to be wealthy, just bring your first baby, your little baby, put it on there and we'll burn it alive for you. And you'll be blessed. To Baal. Okay, that's pretty bad. In the temple of Asherah. There's a bunch of different names for this. This was just blatant, all kind of perverse sexuality. This is where they would have the groves. We're going to talk about the groves. All phallic pornographic symbols all over God's house. Can you imagine that? Just a bunch of pornography all over the walls in God's house. We come here to worship in spirit and truth. That's what was happening. And then you go, all the hosts of heaven. This host, that word host means an army of heaven. Well, army of heaven? No. Demons. They were worshiping demons. By the way, we've been looking at how in Revelation, in the tribulation, people are going to worship demons. You go, who would do that? Yeah. It's happening all the time. Now, interesting, the Brook Kidron. If you're a Bible student or you've looked at the life of Jesus, you know that the Brook Kidron, when you come down the Mount of Olives, beautiful. I've been there. It was probably the highlight of my trip to Israel, was being on the Mount of Olives and praying there. It was cool breeze and the birds were singing. You could see the Temple Mount. I could just imagine what it was like when Jesus came down and rode into the temple. But right there between that, the Mount of Olives and the Jerusalem city, there is this Brook Kidron. With Brook Kidron, Kidron means dark. Why? Well, because that's where the blood of the sacrifice would run into the brook, and it'd be so full of blood that it would be dark. So he burns it there. How apropos? Why? Well, because think about this. He's going to burn these idols and drop their ashes where Jesus Christ's blood cleanses from sin. What a beautiful picture of how God can take you from whatever idol worship you have, and he can cleanse you of that. And then he takes the ashes to Bethel. Bethel means the house, Beth, house, El, God, the house of God. He takes the ashes. Listen, that's where we should bring the ashes of our sin after we've burned them up in our lives and want no more part of that. We bring it to the house of God and he cleanses us of these things. Verse 5. Then he removed the idolatrous priest whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high place in the cities of Judah and in the place around Jerusalem. and those who burned incense to Baal, the sun god, the moon god, the constellations, and all the hosts of heaven. Did you catch that? Baal, burning incense. They worshiped the sun, they worshiped the moon, and the constellation, the zodiac sign. I know I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. You really, as Christians, we should not, if you read your zodiac, let me just, I used to do that. I first got saved, and, you know, as people come up all the time right now, and they'll go, hey, pastor, can I ask you a question? I go, yeah, I'm Capricorn. It's a joke. I'm really not into that. But before I got saved, I was kind of, not crazy, but I'd put in 50 cents and get the little scroll thing for Capricorn to see what was going to happen to me that month. I didn't put stock in it other than the 50 cents, but I would do that. But after I got saved and I started learning about this, I realized, why am I doing that? Why? That would be like, you know, when they used to do the wrappers of the lollipop and you open it and it has something written on it. That's like putting your stock in that. It's silly. It's silly. But in this time, they would put stock. They would do very perverse things to the constellations. It's sad. But here's, I love what King Josiah is doing. Sometimes in the church, we can deal with the sin. Other times, we have to remove the sinner. There are times when you have to remove the sinner. That's what he was doing. Notice it says he removed the idolatrous priests. He removed them. Notice it says removed. What that means, he burned them alive. Okay, I just got to tell you. And someone's got to say, well, gosh, that's so harsh. Why would he burn these priests alive? Well, I don't know. How about the fact that they were burning babies? And they could go to sleep at night. In fact, looking forward to the next baby they would burn. How about the fact that they were doing ungodly sexual acts in the house of God and encouraging people to do that in God's name? Listen, what he's doing is, King Josiah is destroying these idols in order to build up pure worship to God. Verse 6. And he brought out the wooden images from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside of Jerusalem and burned it at the brook Kidron and ground its ashes and threw its ashes on the graves of common people. And you go, what? What? Okay, first of all, I love that. First of all, he burns it, but that's not enough. He then stomps and grounds the ashes. He pulverizes them. But then why puts it on the graves of the common people? Isn't that kind of weird? Okay, well, the King James says this. He put it on the graves of the children of the people. That just got weirder. But then the New Living Translation just says, puts it on the graves of the people. One commentator, actually, I take that back, a few commentators, I don't agree with this 100%, said that they thought that he was doing this to defile the idols. In other words, to a Jewish person, you aren't to touch anything dead. So he took these ashes and he poured it over the dead things. Well, I don't quite agree with that, and I'll tell you why here in a moment. But then some commentators believe that he took the ashes of these false gods and put it over the dead graves so that the people wouldn't go back and try and scoop up the ashes and worship the ashes. That's how petty some people are. See, the Jews weren't to touch the dead. But I'm not sure I agree with that. Why, Pastor Reddy? Why wouldn't you agree with that when certain commentaries, actually quite a few, think that that's two possible reasons? Well, here's why. Remember Samson? He was a Jew. He even took a Nazarite vow. But because he was a sinner and because he was very into his sin, he actually ate honey out of a carcass of a lion. That's like, wow. It's one thing to touch a dead animal, but then to eat out of inside a dead animal? That's pretty creepy. And despite all the other things, and the people were already burning babies and doing ungodly rituals, so why would they think that it being on a dead body would defile it? So I'm not sure that's the answer. So I started thinking, well, why would he do this? Well, think about this. Perhaps. And I'm not saying this is the reason. I'm just saying possibility. Why? Because ultimately we don't know. But I don't like to leave things alone. I like to pick them apart and see if we can figure out why they do these weird things. Perhaps it's judgment on the dead. Perhaps the dead had worshipped these idols. And so by pouring the ashes on them and saying, you're dead and your idol is dead, you've reached the same fate. Or perhaps, add to that, perhaps when it said the children, is because it's almost like a form of sweet vengeance. Poor child was burned alive, and now he's saying, look, I've taken care and destroyed this idol that destroyed you here, you know, to honor you by what destroyed you. It's now destroyed. Like honoring them with the vengeance that was taken out on the false god. Pastor Randy, where do you get that from? Do me a favor, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Oh, excuse me, chapter 34. I was close. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 4. Speaking of this same situation, watch. They broke down the altars of Baal in his presence, and the incense altars, which were above them, he cut them down, and the wooden images and the carved images. We'll talk about those in a minute. And the molded images he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. So see, that would be the people who worshiped them. And that could even mean, when it says the children, those who were sacrificed to these idols. So based on that, I kind of lean towards what I think it's possibility. But here's what we know. We're not sure. This is all pure speculation, trying to put pieces together. But it's telling us this for a reason. That's why I tend to want to dig into it, because I don't think the Holy Spirit just said, here, let's mess with their minds a little bit. He put it on the children. He put it on the dead children and the dead common people. Well, I think there's a reason why the Holy Spirit mentions it. And when I take those two together, that's what I come up with. I won't be dogmatic. Let's move on. Okay. Verse 7. Whew, I'm moving. I don't think I'm even going to make it as far as I thought it was. Okay. And they tore down the ritual booths of the perverted person. These ritual booths were basically inside the temple. They put up little booths. They were like little rooms for the prostitutes to do their business. That's what it was. That were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden images. The wooden images were all phallic symbols. So they made, the women wove little things to put their, so listen, I always knew it, macrame is evil. I'm joking. If you do macrame, just never mind, I'll keep moving. But see, that's the thing. That's what they had brought the Ashtoreth worship that was taking place in the groves. They brought it into the temple, and they would still do it out in the groves too. They were basically anywhere they could, they were doing these sexual perverse rituals. Verse 8. And he brought all the priests from the city of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba. So he is defiling these. He's doing something. What is he doing? He's killing the priests where in the high places. These high places, although what they would do to justify it, in the high places where they would do these horrible, ungodly things outside of the temple, they would also do it in the high places. So you didn't have to travel all the way to Jerusalem. You could party hardy right where you were. So what he did was he killed the priests right on the altar that they were to serve. Now it's defiled. There's dead body there. It's burnt. And of course, he also pummeled it and pulverized them. And when it says from Gibeah to Beersheba, Gibeah is the most northern part and Beersheba the most southern part. Basically, it means he's covering all of the kingdom. Now, I want you to catch this. The king is doing this. He is one busy dude. One day he gathers everybody. He reads all of the scripture. And then he's killing priests, false priests. He's tearing down idols. He's stomping them. He's pouring. He's taking their ashes to the house of God, way to Bethel. He's going from the southernmost to the northernmost. He's killing all these priests in the high places. The king himself, he's doing it. You want to talk about a guy with zeal and fervor for God? He also broke down, let's continue, the high places at the gate, which are at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. Now, by the way, did you hear that? They ate unleavened bread. You go, what does that mean? This is what it means. He did show some compassion on some of them. He allowed them to eat unleavened bread. He allowed them to take part in the Passover. We're going to look at that. We're not going to make it there tonight. Ugh, it's so cool. But you'll see. You'll see. So he, listen, I love that. He didn't tear them all up. He probably only tore the ones up that thought what he was doing was wrong. And the ones who recognize, he says, hey, you know what? We'll show some compassion on them. They'll actually be able to eat unleavened bread because we're going to have the biggest Passover in Israel's history. Huge. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. This Topheth, it means the place of fire. This particular place, we believe, was the pinnacle of Baal worship. That's why it's called the place of the fire. Now, the interesting thing is Topheth can also be translated Topha in the Greek. Topha means drum. And you go, okay, listen, we believe that it was also called the drum because it was a place where they used the drums. They play the drums really loud to drown out the screams of the little babies when they put them on the arms. It's absolutely horrific. But do you sense King Josiah? He's just on fire. He's like, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to go right into the, I'm going to storm the gates of hell, and I'm going to tear it down. What a man. What a godly man. And I want you to know God has been anticipating and excited about this guy because you're going to see, I'm going to read a little bit more, but you're going to see next week that it was prophesied that he would come 300 years before he even gets here. God says, oh man, King Josiah is coming and here's what he's going to do. And it's so cool. We're not going to make it. But let me read a little. That no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire of Molech. We're going to have to stop right there, but don't close your heart. Don't close your heart. Do you see what he's doing? He's destroying idols, big idols, little idols, the ones that hang from macrame, joking. He goes right into the place where they were doing the most Baal worship. And and he's just not like taking them and storing them or telling someone, hey, you know, get these out of here. No. He himself, he's burning them to the ground. And then when they're burnt, he's so angry and so disgusted with the sin that he's stomping it with his feet. And then he goes, and let's take the ashes and let's put them, let's let those people who worship these know, even in their death, they're dead and so is their idol. And let's let those babies know that we honored them by tearing down the idols. Listen, do you see his heart? Why? Because it tells us. Because he honored God with all his heart and all his soul. So how do you and I honor God? Give God all of ourselves. Give him all of our heart. Honor Jesus' name. Sing God's words. How do we do it? We have to do it with all our heart, all our soul. Then we'll be worshiping in spirit and in truth. Then, so here's the thing. You want to improve your worship? Destroy those idols. You don't destroy those idols, you're not worshiping in spirit and truth. Some churches go, well, you know, we speak in tongues. That means the Spirit's here. No. Listen. That's not, if you're speaking in tongues and you still have sin, I've known people who spoke in tongues and had heinous sins in their life. And it was manifest. That's not the proof. Prophesying is not the proof. Laying our hands on someone and having them get healed, that's not proof. That's a blessing. The proof of you walking in spirit and in truth is that you destroy idols and you build your worship that way. So let me encourage you. Examine your heart. Examine your life. See what there is in your life that's hindering you from giving God what he deserves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you that your word is alive. We thank you that we can come to this section. And Lord, we didn't make it very far, but gosh, it's so much good stuff in here. Lord, I just want to ask you, Lord, that it wouldn't just be things that we hear, but it's something that we do. Father God, that we would be those who look in the law of liberty and we see ourselves and we walk away and we remember who we are and we seek to make corrections. That we take those idols, Lord, and pulverize them. God, I want to be like King Josiah, Lord. I want to have that heart where I hear your word and it cuts me deep to where I'm broken and humbled by your presence, by your judgments, which are right and good and righteous and loving and kind, even when they hurt. So Lord, move in every person's heart here tonight, because there's nothing worse than being self-deceived. That we'd be honest with ourselves, honest with you, and then we can worship in spirit and in truth. And so Lord, help us, Lord. We need your strength. We need you to convict our hearts. We need change. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Sing one last song.